I knew there was such a need. I knew it from medical school, from interactions with patients, from friends and family, what they weren't able to get from regular medicine. So I knew there is a need, and I was going to meet that need.
Welcome to episode 8 of How I Built My Small Business, the show that is dedicated to sharing the insight that entrepreneurs have about how to start and grow small businesses. Join us as we unravel the stories behind their entrepreneurial journeys. I'm Anne McGinty, your host, and today we'll be talking with Dr. Arlene Dehomko, the multidimensional MD from Roswell, Georgia. Arlene is a true force in the wellness realm. As the owner of All Worlds Health and Pediatrics, a dedicated teacher at the Osteopathic Cranial Academy, and the heart behind the All Worlds Foundation, Arlene is not just an integrative physician. She's a catalyst for healing, empowerment, and spreading peace, joy, and love. She has been described as a compassionate doctor and a miracle medicine woman, and is consistently booked months in advance. You can find links through to her practices in this episode's description.
Thank you to our listeners for being here today. Full transparency, my guest today also just happens to be my sister. Arlene, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Anne. I'm so happy to be here.
Let's just get straight into it. Can you share the moment that inspired you to become an integrative physician?
When I was in medical school, I had a great idea. It was, how about instead of comparing everything to the placebo effect, which is this innate capacity of the body to get better from within, how about instead of comparing a drug to that, we study the placebo effect and harness that innate capacity of the body to get better from within, and then we wouldn't have to worry about the side effects. And I brought that up in a small group. And I remember the attending physician at the time, he looked at me. And I remember I looked at all of my friends, my colleagues, and I thought this would change everything. This would completely turn medicine around. And they all looked at the attending physician. And I thought, you know, this is not like a right or wrong question. To me, it was a discussion question. And it was an area that was untapped. There was so much wealth in terms of health that we could access there. And he said to me, that's a really interesting question. And instead of having this really big conversation about it, we moved right on to the next thing. And I was completely stunned because I was looking around. I was like, no, this is a revolutionary idea, but at the same time, it's common sense. And I couldn't understand why nobody else was interested in it. So here it's like, wow, great idea, huge need. So you can start to see why this would even be important for anything that you would like to do. And at that moment, I knew, I was like, there's something different about me. And the kind of physician I would like to be, I would like to address that in people. And there's so many moments along the way, but that was the first time I realized there was something different about me. And I would like to do something about it.
At what point did you also realize that you wanted to branch off and not join somebody else's practice, but create your own?
This is when I actually was in someone else's practice. I was employed and I had just finished my integrative medicine fellowship. That's Andrew Weil's fellowship in Arizona. And I had so many ideas. And for me, I feel so alive when I'm having ideas and when I'm creating and looking at new ways to look at things. And that includes like looking at new ways to address your health. And I was seeing the effect on my patients and how much they were benefiting from it. But then because I was employed, I could also see I'm having more ideas faster than the group I was with would like to implement them. And they were great. I really loved working with them, except for I didn't like having to have a meeting every time I had a new idea and then have a huge discussion and maybe not, because some of the ideas I had to me were fairly straightforward, fairly simple, easy to implement. And I could see it, I guess, because they were birthing from me, but it was difficult to have people that have been functioning a certain way for so long to shift gears in a way. But for me, I was ready to shift gears and keep evolving and learning and growing. So I felt that I could move at a faster pace and be more efficient with growing my ideas if I did those on my own, because then I would get to choose to make the decisions and how quickly to implement them. And then on top of that, it was a service too, because my patients would get to benefit more quickly. So I was always looking at the efficiency of things. And I realized this is something that we look at in business too, efficiency. You can think of it efficiency in finance. But then for me, I was looking at it also efficiency in terms of health. How quickly can we help people get better? If one person did one thing and it worked for them, then I studied that. So I learned to raise the bar of how I was approaching medicine. We have so many tools available, but we're leaving the bar of medicine really low. We're not using everything that we could, and we're not using the tools we have as efficiently as we could. So that's the way I was looking at it. And that's when I decided, you know, I need to do things the way that I'm seeing them and the way that they're coming to me. And so I decided to branch off on my own. And it worked out really seamlessly because I have all these kids, and it worked with a pregnancy, and I was taking maternity leave anyway. So it was a nice transition.
How did you decide what location to open your practice in?
I had just moved, and I had just had my third out of four children. And so I knew I needed to be able to go home at a moment's notice, to go to the school, to be around. So I chose a location that was 8 minutes away from my home. And in terms of like choosing where to live, looking at places that were family oriented, and it just all worked out that way.
And what did you look for when you were trying to identify a space that would suit your new practice?
Somewhere that was easy to access, but quiet. So those things sometimes are contrary, because easy to access could be neither big roads, but I still needed it to be quiet enough. And I was hoping for a little bit of nature, so not a completely concrete area. And so I found a lovely office park that was surrounded by woods, and outside the windows where the treatment rooms would be, you can look into the trees, and there's some water down there. And then the space itself had to be accessible. So for patients that needed an elevator, there had to be a way for them to get up. So handicap accessible as well.
And when you found your space and you were starting to create, how long did it take you before you opened your doors?
I got keys to my first office on 11-11-11. And it took me about a month to furnish, and then the holidays. And then my first patient came in January.
Wow.
I already knew what I needed. And I happened to talk to another physician who started an integrative practice. And he was so warm and helpful to me. I had already started, but he wanted to make sure that I was doing it sustainably, which I think is really sweet, because I didn't have anyone else to talk to. And he checked things like, what are you paying? How much did you spend? You know, furnishings and everything like that. And he said, okay, good. You're doing it right. You'll be fine. So some people will do a build out, but I didn't need a build out for my kind of practice. And the space I had was already working out beautifully. So I didn't have to spend on that. And I talked to an accountant in terms of how do I furnish? How do I get the equipment I need? And I thought, do I need to get a small business loan? And he said to me, why get a business loan when you can just get a credit card? So I got one of those credit cards where you didn't have to pay off for 2 years. And I gave myself a budget. I won't spend more than this amount of money. And I know that I can pay that off in a year. So it was no problem.
And if you don't mind sharing, approximately how much capital did it require to get started?
I gave myself a budget of $10,000.
That's pretty good. That seems fairly economical.
Pretty reasonable, yes.
So in the early stages, what steps did you take to let the community know about your new practice? Because you said you just moved to the area.
So this is where you have to know who you are. You have to believe in yourself. Because if you don't believe in your own message, then how will the people that you would like to visit you, schedule with you, how would they believe you too? How would they see what you're doing as worthwhile. So anyone that was interested in what I was doing, then I would tell them. And it would be no pressure. I wasn't trying to get like the new moms and dads that I was meeting through my kids' schools and stuff. It's not like I was trying to get them to go to the practice, although if they did, that's completely fine. But I guess it's like you almost felt like a realtor, because a realtor will tell everyone what they're doing, and because they know that somebody that person knows might need help. And so I realized that the more people knew that I was around, then the more likely people would be able to find me. So I would say the two biggest things that help people find me were, one, word of mouth, and two, the internet. So they would literally Google integrative medicine, holistic physician. So the terms that you think that they would look for, then you can design your website around that. But then the word of mouth really helps spread it a lot. And I also put some ads in certain magazines, but maybe I did that for a year or so. And I didn't continue that because the word of mouth was so effective.
What strategies do you use in creating warmth and making someone feel welcome when they first step foot inside your practice?
This is like your home, and it's really an extension of you and an expression of who you are. So when you welcome them in, you're the host. And so you help them feel comfortable by letting them know as much as they can know. Because in a world of unknowns and uncertainty, the more you can tell someone of what to expect, the more comfortable they can feel. So we'll welcome them in. Welcome, you know, thanks for visiting our practice. And then we'll show them around, just like you're a host. Like, here's the waiting room. Here's another lounge you could wait in. Here's a biomat you could sit on with amethyst and tourmaline, and it has some detoxification properties. You can sit on. We give them instructions on how to do that. Here's some tea that you could have. Here are books that you could use in coloring for the families to entertain yourself while you're waiting. There's a bathroom over here. There's a bathroom over here. If you ever need any water, we have some for you. And we tell them exactly what to do. This is where you enter. When you check out, you'll go this way and you'll exit that way. It just creates this nest where they know what to expect. And so I'll do the same thing for the osteopathic appointment or the treatments. I'll run through what to expect. I'm going to turn down the lights. I'll put some music on, or we can keep it quiet. And then I'll tell them exactly what will happen, what they need to do before they get on the treatment table. So doing that, again, it's not something that's taught in medical school and residency. People know that from having their own medical experiences, because they call that bedside manner, where your physician or medical practitioner, if they help you feel comfortable or not. And my purpose is to help make the whole entire experience for them healing, so they can relax into themselves.
So going to the other end, when they leave your practice, how do you maintain connection?
I'll send out what I call an e-love letter once a week on Wednesday, so they know to look for it on Wednesdays. I have over 50% open rate, which is pretty good for newsletters. And I also have a podcast, so we release that every week, which has been really great because people have been able to vet me out before they meet me. And this is actually another way to create warmth, because they feel like they already know you. That's what they say to me. I feel like I already know you, even though we've just met. And it's so beautiful. It's amazing that they can feel that from recordings or podcasts like this. And then they have their appointment, so they make their follow-up appointment before they leave, if they would like. There's no pressure to, but because we're booked out, it helps them too. So it's to their benefit to schedule before they leave. And then we'll send them reminders for that as well.
When you opened the practice, what were your key values that guided the formation and growth?
Well, so this is what I tell all the new physicians, because they tend to be fairly nervous about opening their own practice. And it's not something that they teach in medical school, unfortunately. But I tell them, one, there is only one you. Two, people come to see you for who you are, not just what you do. Three, there is enough for everybody. So important to have that kind of abundance mindset. And lastly, if you can learn medicine or any profession really, then you can learn how to run a business.
How long has it been now that you've had the practice?
2011, so 12 years.
And in that time, what would you say has been the hardest challenge that you've faced?
I have time to do anything that I'd like, but I have to choose how to spend my time because it's not like I have a 9-to-5 job. I actually work part-time, but I do a lot behind the scenes. So my appointment time is part-time. And then the rest, I have to decide how would I like to spend that time? Would I like to spend that time starting new projects? Or do I want to take a break? Do I need to do some self-care? Do I need to pay attention to my kids more? So it will evolve by the season. And I've changed it seasonally, literally, depending on what's going on with my kids' lives. So I've changed hours. I've changed appointment availabilities, depending on what's going on with the family. So it's always a decision, though, as a business owner, how would you like to spend your time? And then learning to meet people where they are. So as an integrative physician and cranial osteopath, I see the health in people. I see their light. So when I'm collaborating with people or hiring people, I still see that. Like I see their potential, but I also have to choose to work with them for where they are now, not just their potential. And so that's something that I had to learn in the process of running your own business and working with people. But just like anything, once you learn it, then you can move forward with that new growth and evolution.
And choosing to work part-time, how does that impact your schedule? Like how far out are you booked?
So I schedule about 20 hours a week and I'm booked out regularly about 2 to 3 months. And it will vary, of course, when there's holidays and things, but it's okay because as my patients have learned that I'm booked out, they will plan accordingly. And if anyone needs something urgently, then they'll let us know. We'll see what the wait list looks like. The schedule will move around. The patients also learn to schedule out. So sometimes new patients will schedule their follow-up as they're scheduling their new patient visit. Or if somebody needs to be seen with some regularity for a bit because they have a chronic issue and they're anticipating the need to be seen sooner, then they'll schedule a series of appointments. And we encourage them to do that because then they can get the time that they need.
How long did it take before you had that confidence to know that your practice was going to make it?
Oh, I knew before I started. And many people said to me, are you sure anyone's going to come see you? who would be interested in that? And I knew there was such a need. I knew it from medical school, from interactions with patients, from friends and family, what they weren't able to get from regular medicine. So I knew there is a need and I was going to meet that need.
So speaking to that, for other practitioners who are in the integrative medical field, how much space do you think that there is for them to create successful small businesses that can support their families?
There is enough for everyone. And as it is, especially when I get booked out, there could be another person that they go see because they can't come see me in time. So there definitely is a need just seeing my own appointments. And I don't mind that because I don't mind collaborating with other people. And the more people know about integrative medicine, cranial osteopathy, then the more people will be able to find it. So that's why my teaching partner and I did a month or so ago, a free Zoom for new physician osteopaths on how to start and run an osteopathic practice. And we did this for free because there is a need and we want all of these people to be successful. We hope for them to be successful so that they can help more people. And if you look around, how many people have health issues? How many people need help and aren't able to get their needs addressed in the current health model? So shifting things into an integrative, holistic way is still in its infancy. It's still not the mainstream medicine. So there's so much room for growth. And for me, until this becomes mainstream, there will be a constant need. And even after it becomes mainstream, it will just be the norm, the way that we approach health and healing. And so the need always continues.
And you mentioned collaboration. Can you tell us a little bit more about how networking and collaboration have impacted you and your practice?
Oh, I love meeting new people. And chances are there's a service that I can provide that they aren't able to provide. And they might have a service that they provide that I don't provide. So the more that we are able to help our patients, even if it means referring out, it's a win-win-win for everybody. And these collaborations are really because we are on the same page for the patient. We are working together for the health of the patient. So in that way, I don't see it as a competition because you have a common goal. It's to help this person. And let me tell you that patients really feel that. When they feel that you are working for their greatest good, they can tell the difference. And very early on, even if there is someone that I felt, you know, I'm not sure if I found the answer for them, but they saw how I would look and refer them to someone that I thought could help them. And then they would keep me updated on their progress, which is so beautiful because this is a relationship. This isn't about that service for me. The fact that I wished them health, no matter where they could get it, that is so valuable to them. And they can see that there's this mutual love and respect. And so that's how my patients treat me too. So they will keep in touch with me, no matter if they're seeing like all different kinds of practitioners. And then they'll come and tell me what the other practitioners say. And then sometimes they want to know what I think too, even though they've already seen these other practitioners. So it's a relationship and service. And when you approach it like that, from this love and compassion for another human being and for yourself, then you can see that you never run out. The more you help them, the more you receive too. It's like the more love you give, the more love you have. A balanced approach to it is compassion with self-compassion. For example, I do have to cut off appointments at some time so I can go home and tend to my kids and take care of my family. So if I overextended in that way, then I wouldn't be honoring my own self-compassion. And so the compassion that I had for my patients would become out of balance. You see?
And do you have any idea how many patients you have and how many can you see in a day?
New patient visits are an hour and follow-ups are 30 minutes. So it just depends on how many hours I'm working that day. And then I've seen over 2,000 people.
Sounds like the demand is there for you to work more. Can you tell us a little bit about how you've handled the growth that you've experienced at your practice?
Yes. Well, in the very beginning, it was by appointment only because I had a baby, my third one, and I didn't want to be hanging around my office if nobody was there. So I had calls forwarded to my cell phone and it was appointment only. And I decided I didn't need a secretary, receptionist, or office manager at that point because we didn't have the flow. Within a year, then I got an office manager / receptionist to help me with the phone calls and paperwork and things like that.
I'm also curious to know, when you're hiring, what values or qualities do you prioritize in your team members? What skills do they need to have?
Trust, honesty, compassion. Aside from that, it's computer skills. We have to have this relationship, just like with my patients, that's built on trust, respect, love, and that we're able to communicate in that way. So I hope to be the same person in front of the scenes and behind the scenes. And I hope to work with people that are the same, the similar mindset like that.
Can you share a success story where your integrative approach not only improved patient health, but it also contributed to the growth and recognition of your practice?
Oh my gosh. I just feel like that's a daily thing because when people come to see me, then usually what happens is I see that person, then I'll see another family member, then I'll see the whole family at some point, and then I'll see their friend or colleague, and then I'll see that person's family And then it just keeps going on and on and on like that. I saw this nurse practitioner recently, and she came to me just really not sure. She was skeptical. She's from mainstream medicine, but she had fibromyalgia, fatigue, and all these neurological symptoms. And she'd had it for many years, on and off, but running out of options, except for like more heavy duty pharmaceuticals. And she had such a great experience feeling better so quickly that she said, I want to tell everybody about you. So she sent her daughter, this is a fairly typical story. And then her daughter showed up. She was like, honestly, the issue I was having when I scheduled the appointment, since I had to schedule it a while ago, is already better. But because of what my mom said, I figured I should see you anyway. And then she had a similar experience. Yeah, she was like, oh my gosh, my mom was right. I don't know what just happened, but I've never experienced anything like that before. And she's like, I want to tell everyone about you. They're in the medical field, and I'll see counselors like that and have a certain experience. Then they start referring me all their clients, the people they're seeing, and they'll tell them, listen, I know it might cost a lot, but it will be worthwhile. So even if you have to save up and you just go every now and then, it will be worthwhile. So I get such strong recommendations. And then this is part of the collaboration too. It also helps the counselors in their work, because when the person that we're seeing goes back to see them, they are in a better state to receive the counseling and to move forward with that. So it's a win-win-win on all sides. That's part of the grassroots organic growth that I'm talking about. Don't be afraid to be you and show up as you. And people, they can feel that you really actually care about them.
Well, and I know that I've read some of the reviews, and I've even heard from a friend that I hadn't spoken to in a long time. And he said, oh, you know, I ran into somebody, you don't know who they are. And they told me that they went to go and see your sister, not realizing that I knew who you were. And he goes, they described her as kind of like a miracle medicine woman. And I was like, yeah, you know, I've heard that before. That's not the first time I've heard that. You are filled with so much compassion and love for your patients.
It can sound so fantastic what people say. It's a miracle. But what I want to say to that, just for people listening, because especially new practitioners or wherever you are, new in your field, you may not feel like that in the beginning, but people come to you not just for what you do, but for who you are. And the people that you can help will find you, will see you. So in the very beginning, I saw maybe relative to now, simpler things. So they, in hindsight, were more straightforward. But at the time, they weren't straightforward. They were new to me because I was a new physician and it was something new that I learned. And this is something that a senior physician had told me earlier on. She's like, don't worry. The people you can help will see you. And as you're able to do more things, then different kinds of people will come to see you. So that's the part of the abundance and trusting that you are of service, and to really be able to feel that so that you don't have a worry that, hey, you're not just like me. Well, you're never going to be. You can only be you. And the people that can benefit from your unique approach of being you will see you. They will find you if you let them.
So what is your philosophy on pricing? And what do you do when you have a patient that comes in who maybe can't afford your services out of pocket?
I asked that of an accountant in the very beginning. And as a physician, where we're like so used to service and we had never talked about this before in medical school or residency, I said, well, sometimes I feel bad charging for people because it's a health thing. And he's looked at me and he said, well, you're just going to have to get over that, which is a funny way to like a rude awakening. But so if you think of it in terms of balance, when a person is seeking help, they need to also invest in themselves. So it's an empowerment thing. So if you're doing everything for the person, meaning so you give it away and you continue to do so, they're not learning a lesson of empowerment. They are learning to rely on you. So there's an imbalance there. So you think of it in terms of balance, and that can help a person in terms of pricing. And then honestly, you can charge whatever you want, whatever you're comfortable with. And some people will start by looking at what's the going rate and decide from there. That's one way to do it, but it's not the only way to do it. And whatever you charge, you have to be comfortable with that so that when people ask you, that you can say it with confidence, knowing that you're okay with what you're charging and you're also okay with whatever someone needs to do to be able to come see you. So then, okay, let's think about the situations of like, what if someone really can't afford it right now and they could really benefit from your help? That's also your decision. So this is one of the processes of like having your own business. If you would like to give some work away like that, that's okay. It helps so many people like that. Usually what we'll do is enter some sort of barter. So they'll exchange something. And I've established really great relationships like that, where there wasn't a financial exchange, but maybe they baked me a bunch of some yummy pastries for the holidays or something like that. But I do feel it's important to have some kind of exchange to maintain the balance. But we also established a foundation, a nonprofit to address that need as well. So if somebody felt like, hey, there's a person in this situation, they're going through a lot, they could really benefit from it, then they could go through the foundation and we could help them out that way. So there's many avenues to address this, and it's whatever you're comfortable with.
As a trailblazer in integrative medicine, what advice would you offer to aspiring entrepreneurs who are looking to bring innovation to the healthcare industry?
That you are a unique being with unique gifts and your perspective matters. So if you can believe in yourself and trust in yourself, knowing already you can learn medicine, so you can learn how to start a business, but you can also innovate. And I'm in groups of physicians where they embrace innovation and creativity and looking at things outside the box. And I love learning from people with different perspectives, even if you don't necessarily agree. You can still learn something. And this is what I teach to physicians as well. Listen, and you know your perspective. So as you're learning, then listen to somebody else's perspective. And as you do that, you will continue to broaden your perspective. And when you do that, creativity and innovation start to come more naturally. We saw in the pandemic that the current state of medicine is not sustainable. It didn't know how to address something new. So we always need to be able to look at things in a different way, especially when you're stuck. Look at the stuck point, because that tells you exactly where the healing is. And I feel like in business, they're familiar with that. They call it the pain point. So in osteopathic medicine, we call it the lesion. But for most people, I just call it the stuck point. So there is that Rumi saying that the wound is where the light enters.
What advice would you give to your younger self, your pre-business owning, pre-integrative physician younger self?
Honestly, my answer has changed to that over the years. And at this point, it's no regrets. You're exactly where you need to be. You are loved no matter what, no matter what you think, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've been through. And it will all work out. So to trust in that fully, to let yourself just free fall into that feeling of it will all work out. And any difficulty or discomfort you're going through now is a stepping stone to something better than you can imagine.
I love it. You've done such a great job with growing your practice. And I know it has been organic and natural and word of mouth. And it is for a reason. You do it so well. Thank you for being here today and sharing your insight with all of us.
Absolutely. I love talking to you, and I love being able to talk to you about something different for everyone. So,
to our listeners who are still with us, thank you for being here. Today's key takeaways. If you're considering opening an osteopathic practice, choose a location that is easy to access, but also quiet. Tap into the knowledge of other physicians or businesses who already have established practices, and don't be afraid to ask for advice. Letting people know what to expect when they arrive at your practice can help them feel comfortable and begin the process of connection. There is no competition for you because there is only one you. Instead of looking at other practices as competition, consider the possibility for collaboration. People come to see you for who you are, not just what you do. There is enough space for everybody, so keep an abundance mindset. If you can learn medicine or any profession, then you can learn business. Believe in yourself and your own message so that others will too. When someone is interested in what you are doing, tell them, not because you are trying to get them to come to your practice, but because you believe in what you are doing. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review and share it with a friend. I'll be releasing episodes every week, so come back and check it out.